The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Chaf, today's daf is being studied in the Neshmat Mor Zekeni, Yosef Ben Tzara, Ve'marat Zekenati, Yafa Ben Tzara, Ve'neshmat Avraham Ben Esther, Ve'Hashem Tenechem Ben Eden, Amen, Ve'latzlachat, Hayaleh, Sava, Hagana, Li'Yisrael, Shekosh Baruch Hu, Yiten Lahem, Rahamim Va'Atelet Nesachon, Amen ve'amen. We begin today's Mishnah, Yivtet Amud Bet, and we are starting from the Mishnah. Ketzad Hashen Mu'edet Le'echol Et Hara'uila, which means, how is a Shen Mu'edet? What makes a Shen Mu'edet? That's the animal eating. Le'echol Et Hara'uila, when it eats something that is befitting for it to eat. Ha'behema Mu'edet Le'echol Perot V'Yerakot. For example, a behema is Mu'edet to eat Perot and Yirakot, fruits and vegetables. Achla kesuto kelim, but if it ate, let's say, something that's not normally eats, for example, kesut, clothes or kelim or vessels, meshalim hatzinezik, because then it would be considered like keren, because it is not the normal damaging. But mitabrim amurim b'reshut hanizak. Oh, there's only talking about that the shen is hayav b'reshut hanizak, because the pasuk says, ubi'er b'ste aher, only in ste aher, aval b'reshut harabim, patur. However, in the Shut Rabim, it is indeed patur. As he says, the ba'inan ubi'er b'ste aher. Va'kesut ve'kelim nameh patur. Oh, so Gemara is going to say that even kesut and kelim in the Shut Rabim, they're also going to be patur. Now we have to see why. Because it's going back on everything. But Shut Rabim patur, it's based on everything. Whether it's eating fruit in the Shut Rabim or even kesut and kelim. We have to see why. Ve'im nehenit meshalemet mash nehenit. If it had hana'a, even in the Shut Rabim, we'll see what this means when we get to the Gemara. If it had hana'a, you have to pay what it benefited. Because bottom line, it did benefit. It did eat some fruit, even though it wasn't the Shut Anizak. Has to pay mash nehenit. We will see exactly what this payment means. Ketzad meshalemet mash nehenit. What's the case that it pays what it enjoyed, what the hana'a it had? Akhla mitok harhaba. Let's say they ate in the middle of the Reshut Rabim. Marhaba, in the middle of the street, then mishalemet mashni, then it pays what it was needing. Mitzideh harhaba, but say from the side streets, where it's really not the normal way for an animal to go eat on the side streets, mishalemet ma shezika, which is hatzi nezek. Or if it was a mu'ad, it would pay nezek shlamo. So if it's normal in the Reshut Rabim, meaning in the middle of the street, I guess it's a normal, common place for it to eat, then it has to pay mash nehenit. We'll see what that calculation is. But if it stuck its head in the side street over there, where it's not normal, and it's keren, pays ef. Mepetach hachanut, if it ate from the front of the storefront where the fruit is normally put out, mishlamet mash nehenit, you have to pay at least what the pleasure was. Metok hachanut, if it went into the store, which is not normal, mishlamet mash zika, then it'd be a keren again, and would pay hatzir ezek. We have a braita. It says a shen is more edit lechol. It's something that's la'ula. Ketzad be'ema shenichnasa l'chatzer ha'nizak. The be'ema went to the chatzer of the nizak. The achla ochne ra'uim la. It ate foods that are normally eaten by that animal. V'shateta mashkina ra'uim la. And drank things that are normally the animal drinks. Mishalem nezik shalem. Kedin, like the regular law of shen. V'chen haya shenichnasa l'chatzer ha'nizak. Or for example, the haya that went into the chatzer of the nizak. V'tarfa be'ema v'achla basar. It pounced on the animal and ate its meat. Mishalem nezek shalem. Same thing, because it's considered kedarko. Upara she'achla se'urin. However, a para, it's a cow that ate barley. V'hamor she'achal karshinin. That's a hamor that ate karshinin. How do they explain karshinin?
Vetch.
Okay. V'chelev, which is all things that are not normal for the animals to eat. V'chelev shelikek et hashemen, or a dog that licked up the oil. V'hazir she'achal hatichat shel basar, or a pig that ate hatichat shel basar. Again, that's not normal. Mishalmim Nezek Shalem. Still they pay Nezek Shalem. Now she explains, because even though it's not their first choice of Achila, but if they have nothing else, they'll eat it. And therefore it's considered Achila al Yadei Adachak, and Achila al Yadei Adachak is considered an Achila, and therefore, Yahayav, even though it's not the normal thing for it to eat, don't think it's Kedin. No, it's considered Shem, and therefore it pays Nezek Shalem. Abal Papa, Ashtadamat, Kumidi de Lavur Hayuva Achla al Yadei Adachak Shem Achila. Now how do you tell me the rule? That anything the animal eats al Yadei Adachak, it's considered an Achila. Hayshunra. This cat, the achal tamre, that ate dates, the hamra or a hamor, the achal binita, it's a type of fish, mishalem, nezek shalem, even though it's not the normal for these animals to eat these type of things, but they eat it aydei adak, and therefore you'll pay nezek shalem birshut hanizak. Hahu hamra dachan nehama, a certain hamor ate nehama, ate bread, and bit the basket as well. As it was eating the bread, the chaurai chewed up on the basket as well. So Gemara says, you have to pay nezek shalem for the bread, because that's considered shin, right? That's considered a the asala hatzi nezek. But on the basket, which is not normal for an animal to eat a basket, that's kidding, therefore he paid hatzi nezek. Gemara says, hold it. V'amai, what do you mean when it's eating the bread? The devil of the animal is also to chew on the basket when it's eating the bread. So it should be considered urche. If we should pay full price, nezek shalem for the basket as well. Gemara says no. De'achal ve'adar palis. What happened was it ate the bread. After the bread was finished, it started to chew on the basket. That already is not normal. Therefore, on the basket only pays chati nezgupat. Urchehu, is it the normal way of an animal, of a hamor, to eat bread? So comes Gemara and says, why, what's the question? It sounds like maybe even not Yadei Adak. So Gemara, because if it's Yadei Adak, we said already even Yadei Adak is okay. But the question is it normally to eat bread, this hamor? So Gemara says, Urmin hu achla pat ubasar v'tavshil. It ate all these items, pat and basar v'tavshil, mishalem hatzi nezek. But only pays hatzi nezek. My lab bebehema. And the Chara, we're talking about a behemah like a hamor. Therefore, you see what? It's not the derech afilu aydeh dahak to eat the bread. So Gemara says, lo, behaya. Let's talk about a chaya, wild animal. So Gemara says, chaya, basar, urchehu. What are you talking about? Chaya, the derech is to eat basar. So why are you telling me only puts hatzi nezek on the basar? Gemara says, dim medveh. No, because it was roasted. Roasted meat's not the derech for it to eat. Vibaitema betavya. Or we're talking about tavya is a svi. Svi en darko bebasar vepat. And the type of animals, not the derech for it. But vibaitema leolam bebehema. Really, I can tell you, the case over there, we place chatzi nezek, it's talking about a behema. However, ufatora, was talking about he ate it off the table. Normally, it's not the derech for an animal to eat the food off the table. He eats in the fields. So therefore, pays chatzi nezek. Barha, there was a certain ez, a goat. The Hazal lifta apuma dedana. It saw a turnip, or a radish, on top of the barrel. Sarich, the salik. What happened? He attached himself and he climbed up the barrel to eat the radish. And he broke the barrel as he was eating the turnip. He made him pay nezek shalem for both the radish and the barrel itself. My tama. Since it's the derech to eat lifta, it's also the derech to climb up on the barrel and eat it in that way. Therefore, it's considered a urche. Therefore, you pay nezek shalem. That's not urche. When you have food on a barrel, it climbs up on the barrel and eats it. But when you have food on a table, it does not climb on the table and eat it. There's a difference between food on a table and food on a barrel. Comes the Gemara and says, well, the Mefashim just point out, the Meiri says that the lefet is midin shen and the barrel is midin regel. Because you kicked the regel, I guess, or he's got begufa. Begufa is regel. Darko lazik. Okay. Amar ilfa. Ilfa said, behema b'reshut rabbim. Okay, interesting case. You have the animals in the reshut rabbim. Upashta savra v'akla ma'al gabe havirta. And it stuck its head and ate fruit off another animal's back. How do you consider another animal's back? So the Gemara says, chiba. He made him pay hayevet. Hayevet to pay nezek shalem. It's considered like reshut ha-nizak, another animal's back. My tama gebe havirta kaser nizak deme. Because the gebe, this animal, this is considered chaser nizak. Therefore, even though it's not a chaser, but it doesn't matter. It's somebody else's property. That animal, off its back, is considered the property of somebody else. Therefore, it's considered the fruit from the chaser nizak, so to speak. And therefore, you have to pay nezek shalem. Lema misaya le. I can bring a proof to this concept. What's the proof? Haita kupato mufshelet lachorav. Now the guy is walking, he has a kupato, he has a sack hanging over his shoulder from behind. Upashta sabara v'achlav imenu. Now what happened? An animal went and stuck its head into the sack and started eating from it. Hayevet. Oh, it's hayevet. So you see what? That it's considered a shoot. Tanizak. What a guy's holding on his shoulder, what's considered a shoot? And for the animal sticks his head into the sack and eats the fruit, it's considered hayevet. He's yevet ayah. That what's on a person as well is considered shuta nizak. Comes gemara kadavar abaz. No, that's not the reason. Be kofes. Just like Rava explained in a different case, kofes it. We'll see what that means. Hakadame be kofes it. So to over here, it's talking about kofes it. What does this mean? Kofes it, which means the animal over here jumped into the sack over there of the guy and grabbed it. And therefore, the reason why you hayav to pay is not because it's considered shin, it's not the normal way. When it said hayavet to pay, hatsi nezik, because it was kidding. So you have no ra'aya that what's on a person's back is considered hasir nizak. Really, I'll tell you, what's on a person's back is considered a shoot, harabim. And the reason why you had to pay, because the animal did it in a strange way, jumped into the to grab the stuff. And this is considered kidding, therefore you pay hatsi nezik. Therefore you have no... Where did we see Rava's case of kofeset? Okay, which means have a behema b'rishut rabim. Halcha ve'achla, as it's walking, it's eating petura. Do not have to pay. Amda ve'achla hayevet. If it stopped and ate, hayevet. What's the difference? When he's walking, it's the urcha. That's the derech to eat when it's walking. And therefore, the reason why you patuk is a shuter abim. And therefore, shen is not chayav in a shuter abim. Amda name urchehu. What do you mean? Amda also, when it's standing in position, the kara is also considered the derech. And therefore, you should also be patura b'rishut harabim. Why did you say that amda b'rishut harabim, that you are chayavet? Amarava bekofeset. Because it was jumping. It was eating when it was jumping. Or grabbing. How does it explain kofeset?
She jumps to get the food.
That's kidding. Oh, it's kidding. Shuta Rabim is going to be Hayah. That's why Omed it is different. It's talking about where it was Omed in his place, but it was jumping to get the food. Therefore, it's in a not normal fashion. Therefore, it's kidding. Shuta Rabim is going to be Hayah. So then we really didn't answer that question then. Which means we leave that in there, but we weren't able to bring a proof to the case over there eating off the animal's back. What is this considered? Which is, he wanted to say, consider Shuta Nizak. We try to bring it ayah, but we said, no, that case is different because it's kofeset. The Gemara leaves it in Rabba, it's Mahloket, comes out. It's Mahloket, Rabba, and Rabba, how to posek. Okay, we'll have to see what the halakha is. That's the Rishonim we'll discuss. Ba'e Rabbi Zera, mitkalgel mahu. Okay, what's the question of mitkalgel? Literally, mitkalgel means it is rolling. What does it mean, rolling? So the Gemara is going to explain. Now, what's the case? Kegon de kaima amir b'shut yachid. You have an amir, a bundle, let's say, of hay or straw that's in the shut hayachid. Vekam mitkalgel v'atum b'shut yachid b'shut rabim. The animal rolls it out from the shut yachid to the shut rabim and eats it in the shut rabim. So how do you look at it? You look at where it came from or where he's eating it. If you look where it came from, it's a shut rizak. If you look where he's eating it, it's a shut rabim. The difference between hayav and ptur. My, look at the Rashi, fourth line. My, batar achila azlinan uftura, or batar de shaklele azlinan vechayevet. Now you could have asked the other way as well. You could have asked the way that it's in the shut rabim and he rolled it into the shut yachid. Same question. Do you go where it started or where he ate it? It's just a reverse question. She says you could have asked it both ways. Tashema de tani de bichaya masui. You have a load. Miksat bifnimu miksat bahutz. Right? It's partially in the shoot tahid, partially in the shoot harabim. Achla bifnim hayevet. If he ate it inside, hayevet. What does that mean? Tzmashma, he rolled it inside, and he ate it inside, in the shoot tahid. Achla bahutz petura. Mashma, if he rolled it outside, he's going to be petura mailav mitkalgel ve'ateh. Must be the case where he rolled it inside, outside. Anyway, what do you see over here? It doesn't matter where it came from. It goes where you ate it. Right? Again, you had it in the shuta and shuta rabim. It's in both places. What do you do? It says, if he ate, if he mitkalgel. What did he do? He rolled it inside and ate it over there. Hayav. Rolled it outside, ate it outside. Patur. I don't care where it emanated from. You go where? He's eating it. Also, that answers our question. Goes where you're eating it. Gemara said, no, no, I don't have to explain like that. Ema achla al ma shebifnim hayevet al ma shebechutz petura. Which means, no, look at that, she explains. That she says, Ema achla al ma shebechutz petura. Al ma sheya munach betchila bachutz, or what initially was bachutz, Petura v'alamunach mitteira b'fnim hayevet debatar deshaklele azlinan beni b'fnim beni b'chutz, which means maybe it means to say that what it's going after where it started, which means if I took the item that was outside, right, and I put it inside, I'm patur. Because I go from where I took it from, and vice versa. If I took the stuff that was inside and put it outside, who told you? Could be when it says hayevet, it's going in reverse. It's going on where it came from. So you have no ra'aya from this braita to again. Yeah, it's part in, part out.
So
it's ra'aya the other way. So, no, it's ra'aya the other way. You have no ra'aya then, because I clear it either way. Which means I took the stuff that was outside, mm-hmm. and I took it in. I'm patur.
It says achla bifnim
chayevet. Achla bifnim, which part achla bifnim?
He ate the bifnim.
Right, if he ate, right, he ate the bifnim outside, okay. So then he's chayav, because it came from bifnim, or vice versa, right. Bachutz, okay. Because it came from bachutz, because you have to where it came from, so you have no daya. So comes the Gemara and says, uiba, I give me another answer. Ki kamar bichayav biftila de aspasta, a long piece of straw, that what? That's half in, half out, and it was very simple. You ate the part that's outside, patur. You ate the part that's inside, hayav. It's a long piece of straw. And therefore, very simple. Meshe bifnim, bifnim. Meshe bechutz, bechutz. Therefore, you have no ra'aya to a case of achla that was inside and you rolled it out. There's not a case of rolling. It's just one long piece and you ate half in and half out. And wherever you ate it and wherever it is going to be, hayav. Yivayte, ma'al kadashi. Le'olam kediktari. Achalato bifnim hayevet al kulo. אכלתו בחוץ פטורה על כולו. זה לא תפשוט דגלגול מלטהו. This is not a case of גלגול. תכם הרב חייב בפתילת אספסטה, משווה מסוי של שחת. It's a long piece of straw, or grass, עליו ארוכים, וראשו אחד בפנים וראשו אחד בחוץ. תכמן דהי רשע. Since this ראש, כי גריל לאזיל אידך בטרה, here's the key, which means, when you have the ראש, part of it is outside, right? When you drag the rosh of it outside, told you keman de manach kulo bechad duchta dame. We look at it as if it's all in one place. That's not considered gilgul since it's a long piece of a straw that spans both the shuta and the shuta rabim. So wherever he's eating it, we consider the whole thing is in that section. So if he's eating it outside, we consider the whole thing. He's drawing it with his mouth. He's eating it. It's considered everything is outside. That's like Gilgul. Gilgul is talking about a small thing, and you rolled it inside, you rolled it outside. Mashiach, when it's spanning the Shukta and the Shukta Rabim all together, that's not considered a Gilgul. We go after where he's eating it. That's what she says. Wherever the Behemah is standing. Behemah is inside, it's considered all inside. Behemah is outside, outside. Se'urin. Se'urin is like a gar'in. Dechule gar'in ka'e b'fnim or b'chutz. It's only either all inside or outside. Don't bring me a ra'ya. In a kavata, it's a long piece. You have no ra'ya. That's not considered gilgul. There, I look at where the animal is standing. Wherever he's standing, that's considered where the item is, because it's in both places. Mashiach, I want to know about a gar'in, a small little se'ura. Which way does it go? Okay, Gemara does not answer that question as well. Achla kesut. Okay, what do we say in the Mishnah? If it ate b'shut rabim, what's the deen? Hatzi nezek. Because that's kedin. Or for that matter, if it ate kesut, also hatzi nezek. Because that's not the derech. Okay? So now the Gemara says, let's just review the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's language was, aval b'reshut arabim patur. All that was talking about b'reshut anizak. Aval b'reshut rabin patur. Patur what? Which is the case of the reshut rabin patur? Gemara says, ahya. What's that case going on? Amar rav akud lehu. It's going on all the cases. Even if the animal ate kesut v'kerim in the reshut rabin patur. Why? We should say it's keren. Keren should be hayav in the reshut rabin. This is chatzin ezek. Amaitama kol ha-mishaneh. Uba aher v'shina bo patur. Rule. Anybody that made a shinui, and then somebody else came made another shinui patur. The guy that put the kesut in the shut rabim, he already did something that was wrong. What are you leaving your shirt in the shut rabim for? So therefore, you were the mishaneh, and somebody else comes down like this animal and acts in a shinui way patur, because you were mishaneh first. So therefore, kesut in the shut rabim patur legame. It's not even keren, because there was a shinui before that. Somebody by leaving the item there.
Ushuel ama no lo shanu ela. Perot v'irakot.
No, perot v'irakot will be patur legamri in reshut harabim, because it's not reshut harizak. Aval kesut v'kerim hayevet. He argues, he says, kesut v'kerim hayevet hatzitezek. V'ker amar shtakish akulihu. It's going back on both cases, like the first shita. That what? Patur legamri, because he was a mishaneh, and kol ha-mishaneh v'ahay v'shina. Patur legamri. V'az reshtakish, letameh amar shtakish, shte parot reshut harim. We have two cows in the reshut harim. Achat revutza. One is resting in the Reshut Rabim, lying down in the Reshut Rabim. Ve'hat me'alechet. And one is walking. Be'ata me'alechet b'rbusa. If the one that was walking kicked the one that was lying down, petura. Why? Because already that animal that's lying down is considered a shinui. It's mishuneh. You don't lie down in the Reshut Rabim, a cow. Therefore, even though he acted in a shinui way by kicking him, petura. Rebutza be'me'alechet. But the opposite. If the rebutza kicked the one that was walking, which is the normal way, then already it's considered hayevet, because be'ota is kidding, and therefore you'll be paying hatzidezik. So Gemara says, well, what's the logic? The logic is like I told you, because the revutza is a mishuneh already. So when you kick the revutza, hey, you already acted in a shinui way. So I was mishuneh also, because I kicked. Kol mishuneh, uba, har v'shina, patur. But the opposite way, if the revutza kicked the me'alechet, me'alechet is doing the normal thing. Therefore, he kicked it. So therefore, that's keren. Be'ita. Therefore, it's chatzinezek. That follows the shtekish. Rabbi Hanan Amar lo shanu ela perot v'irakot. He says, no, only perot v'irakot. That's when you're going to be patur in the reshut rabim. Aval kesut ve'kelim hayebet. Oh, lema, Rabbi Hanan letle de shtekish. Afilu b'shte parot. Does he argue even in the case of the two cows? Lo, le'olam itle. No, he agrees to the case of the cows. Also, what's the difference? Kesut avdi inshe demanche gilime umetapche. Which means it's the way of people to leave their garments in the reshut rabim. Temporarily, he wants to take a rest, so he puts his kilim down. That's considered a shinui. So therefore, if the animal comes along and breaks the kilim, it's not considered that the first guy was mishaneh. It's they have to put your clothes down for a minute or two, whatever it is. However, but for an animal to lie down in a shut rabim, even for a second, that is not the derech. And therefore, he agrees to the parot case, but he argues on the kesut case. Metavcheda, she says, omdim nafus. Sometimes you want to take a break in the middle of the walking, so you rest. Also, that case over there, in echerameh, he holds that the guy that put his clothes down is not a mishaneh. Therefore, the animal that comes in Easter claims is going to be hayav nezek, hatzi, nezek, like keren. However, by the animal case, he agrees petura, because it's not the derech for the animal, so he will mishaneh when he sat the animal. Therefore, he'll call mishaneh b'ahal v'shineh, because he kicked him. Patur, legabre, Gemara continues. Vim nehinit mishalemet. Okay, let's see what this means. Gemara says, if it had hana'ah, when it ate in the reshut rabim, mishalemet ma shenehinit. Okay. We have to see what this means over here. So the Mefarshim say, first of all, you're not considered a mazik. Because it's not really a ezek. Reshut rabim is not considered a ezek of shen. Yeah, that's considered you owe money, so therefore you don't have to pay from edit, you can pay from benonit, as a din of a balchov. It's not a mazik, but you have to pay, so you did eat something, we're not going to get you in a mazik, but we'll get you as a balchov. But what's the calculation? So Gemara says, "Mas mezem mashenedi v'kama Rabba Amar deme amir," which means even though he ate barley, which is $100 worth. Listen, I wasn't going to feed my animal barley. I was going to feed him straw. I'll pay you straw. Mashenedi, remember, I benefited. Yeah, I would feed my animal straw. Therefore, I'll pay you $15 for the straw value of this item. No, he holds. You got to pay in barley, but you could pay cheap. One third off the price. Which means, oh, I'm not paying the expensive price, but I could have got it cheaper. So therefore you pay from the item, but you can discount it at the lower market. Good? Comes going on and says, Tanya Kivatidaraba, Tanya Kivatidaraba. Tanya Kivatidaraba, Rabbi Shulman Yochai, Ama. We have a Tanya Kivatid from Rabbi Shulman Yochai. And Mishadimit Ela Deme Amir Bilvad. You only have to pay for straw. You don't have to pay the value of the barley at all. Tanya Kivatidaraba in the init. Mishalemet mashin enit ketsad achlak kavu kabayim. Let's say of perot that are very expensive, and onim tishalem demen. You don't have to pay the value of expensive fruit. Ela omdim kama adam rotzil achidem b'yotod davar ra'uila. How much would a person pay in, let's say, seorim in value to pay that? Apa bi she'enu ragil. Even though, let's say, he does not ragil to feed seorim. Normally, he's ragil to pay cash. No, so you pay the value of the item that it ate, but at a discounted price. So that's a Tanya converted to Rava. However, the Gemara's daughter says, which is Pashut, Lefikach Achla Chitin, O Davar Hara La Petura. But if the animal ate, let's say, Chitin, wheat, which is bad for the animal, Petura in the Gabri. Because I wouldn't have fed it at all. See, I got to pay, listen, bottom line, my animal benefited. I'm not paying you seorim for, $100. But you have to pay seorim. I'll pay discounted. Now, you, according to Rabbi, you can't pay for cash and tevin. Oh, but if you ate something that you didn't do many favors, I wouldn't have fed it all, this item. It's mazik. Then you do not have to pay anything at all. Mara continues. Amar le'rav chesdan le'rami barhamma. Lo havit gaban be'urta. So Rav Chisda tells Rami Bar Hama, you weren't with us beurta in the evening. Betehuma. Tehuma is another way of the Gemara saying in the Bet Midrash. The Bet Midrash is the tehum, is the borders of Klal Yisrael. That's another way of saying the Bet Midrash. It says you weren't with us in the Bet Midrash last night. The Ibaya Lan Midi Me'aliyata. We had a very, very strong question. Amar, Maimili Me'aliyata, she said, what was the question that you had? Amar Le, so he told him, the question was like this, Hadar Bachaser Havero Shelo Middato. A person goes and lives in his friend's courtyard without him knowing. He doesn't tell him, he just packs himself up, and he goes and he lives in his friend's courtyard. What's the question? Sarich La'alot Lo Sechar, or En Sarich, does he have to pay him rent? Does he have to pay him for it? Well, what's the question of it? We need to know more information. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dameh." What's exactly the case? Ilema. Maybe we're talking about a case bachaser delo kaima leigra, that it's a chaser that anyway the owner doesn't rent out. So it's not like there's going to be any loss of money. He doesn't plan on renting it out. Vegavra delo avid lemegar, and the guy that's staying in the courtyard is a guy that doesn't really need the place. He has homes. He doesn't need to rent. So therefore, it's a classical case of ze lo nehene, veze lo chaser, which means the guy that's staying in the courtyard, he's not benefiting really, because he wasn't going to rent the house anyway. So it's not like he's saving any money by doing what he's doing. Veze lo chaser, and the baal habayit is not out any money because he wasn't renting the place regardless. So therefore, ze nehene, ze lo nehene, ze lo chaser, Gemara assumes for sure he would not have to pay anything because nobody's had anything. Gemara says, ela b'chaser dekaima le'agra. Oh, so if we're talking about a case of a chaser, where the guy normally gets a rental out of it, de gavra David le'megar, and the fellow needs to rent the place, so he's saving money by freeloading in this guy's backyard. He's benefiting because he saved rental. He's losing out because now nobody's going to rent because it's occupied. So Gemara says, you're right. Lord Sericha, the case must be talking. It's talking about a chaser that normally he doesn't rent out. Vegavra David lemegar, but the fellow usually rents, so he's benefiting because he's saving a rental. But the guy that he's staying by is not losing out anything. My, what's the deen? Matze amar le
the fellow that's staying in the courtyard can say, "May hasartich." Well, how could you charge me? I didn't cause you any loss. You weren't renting it out anyway. It's not like you're losing out any money. Or dilma, or maybe matzi amar. Hi, the owner can say, "Hi etanit." What do you mean? I gave you a benefit, which means you saved money. You know, if you didn't freeload in my backyard, you'd have to pay your rental. So then, the question is, who has the claim? So comes Gemara and says, "Amar le." So Rav Chisda tells him, "Matnitini." Tells him it's a Mishnah Mefureshet. He says, "Hey, matnitin. Which Mishnah are we talking about over here? That's a Befirush Mishnah." Amar le. So he tells him, "Lechi teshameshli." You want me to tell you the answer? Serve me first. Do a light service to me, and then I'll give you the answer. It seems once he would serve him, he would become subservient to whatever he said. So therefore, he wanted to accept the answer. So this was a method that the Hakamim had, that they would tell their students first, "Serve me, do something for me, and then I'll tell the answer." It wasn't out of ego or searching for honor. This was a methodology they had, that once you serve the person, so now you're more prone to accept what they're going to say. So what did he do? Shakal sudre. So he took the rabbi's sudar, his head covering. Karachle. He folded it for him. He did him the service. Amadle. So he tells him, "Im ne'enit, mishalemet mashene'enit." Our Mishnah said, a guy put his fruit in the Rishut Rabbim, in the public domain. Another guy's animal came and ate the fruit in the Rishut Rabbim. The Mishnah's deen was that he had the animal ate. He has to pay what he was ne'eneh. Even though, the Gemara's assuming over here, that it's a case of ne'eneh, he's benefiting, because bottom line, his animal did eat. And the Gemara's saying, assuming that this is zeh lo chaser, because it seems the guy threw away his fruit anyway. So it's not like he's out any money. He threw his fruit in the public domain already. So he says, and what does the Mishnah still say? He's got to pay. So you see what? This freeloader that stayed in the guy's backyard, he's benefiting. I don't care if the guy's not out any money. You got to pay. So Rava comes along and says, "Kama lo chale velo margish." How much does a person not have to fear and not have to worry? Of what? Of trouble. Gavra de mare say'e. Because God protects a person. Which means when he heard his answer, he said, what kind of answer is that? This, even though your proof is wrong, but he's right in his conclusion. He had the right answer with the wrong proof. So he says, look at this. People don't have to worry about anything. No matter what happens to them, God is still there to protect them. That was the rabbi's response. Even though I don't like your proof. He says that the proof is really not, this is what Abba was saying actually. He says the proof is not really similar to what we're trying to prove. However, kibla mine hai, which means he still accepted it. Now the question is, why is it not similar? So the Gemara says, hai ze nehene ve ze chaser, ve hai ze nehene ve ze lo chaseru. Why is it not analogous? We're talking about a case where the owner is not is out. He usually rents his field. He rents his chaser. This guy came along and freeloaded. So we're trying to figure out a case of zeh nehneh. This guy is benefiting. Excuse me. Vezeh lo chaser, where the guy who owns the field is really not out anything. So we're trying to figure out a case of zeh nehneh vezeh lo chaser. Good. And you bring me a case of our Mishnah. The case of the Mishnah is different. The case of our Mishnah is zeh chaser. Because even though he threw his fruit out in the public domain, he didn't relinquish them yet. There still is fruit. You're right. Maybe he's expecting them to get eaten. Maybe he's expecting them to let's say, spoil or diminish in its price. But he didn't relinquish ownership yet. So therefore, bottom line, when this animal eats, the owner is chaser. He did incur a loss. You can't bring me a case from our Mishnah
Our Mishnah is talking about Zehaser. The guy that threw the fruit in the public domain is out something. Maybe minimal, but he's out something. We're trying to find a case where the owner is lo hasir. So he says, you know what? Nice try. Nice. He brought a nice proof, but it's not really analogous to what we're trying to prove over here. He says, but you know what? Even though he didn't bring the right proof, the rabbi accepted it from him anyway. To show you that the person doesn't have to worry from sickness and worry from problems, because no matter, even if he's wrong, he's right. Even if things are not right for him, Borei Olam will protect him. Just look at the rabbi. He gave an answer to the question. It was the wrong answer. Wasn't a fair analogy. And still the rabbi accepted it from him. You have nothing to worry about when Borei Olam is with the person. Even if he says the wrong answer, he has a siyata. Nishmaya. Kamil Gamaran says, oh, what was Rami Bar Hama's logic? But we've got to explain what he meant. He was a smart rabbi. He must have understood. Rami Bar Hama, stam perot b'shut rabim afkure mafkar lehu. He said, "Now my analogy is good. When he threw the perot in the reshut rabim, a normal guy that throws fruit in the public domain, he relinquishes ownership. He don't want them. He doesn't care for them. So therefore, it's considered zenene v'zelo hased. You're going to ask me a question. So what does he have to pay anything for them? If he's mafkir them, what does he even have to pay a minimum amount? Because like I told you before, when he threw them in the reshut rabim." He relinquishes ownership, but not fully, until they're going to be totally spoiled. So therefore, since he has a little connection to his perot still, so therefore the owner has to pay something, but it's considered like a case of zeneh vezeh lo chaser. Comes the, that's the way the Tosafot explains. Look at Tosafot, afkorem mafkar lehu. Second Tosafot on the page. Lo legamre. Hey, not mafkir it in totality. They wouldn't have to pay anything. Right, which means he gives up hope on them because he thinks they're going to get trampled and things like that. But he's going to have to pay him at least what he benefited, because as long as it still has a value until it gets trampled, until it gets ruined. You have to pay the guy what your animal benefited. So therefore, it's a case of really that he's having really because he was really mafkir them to a certain degree, and therefore his analogy to the case of the house is a fair analogy. Comes the Gemara and says, Tenan, we have a Mishnah. Okay, what's the case? You have a guy has a field in the center. Another guy comes in, right? Ruben has a field in the center. Shimon comes along and buys fields surrounding that. To the right, to the left, on top. Now, Shimon needs to gate his fields. Well, he needs to gate his fields from both sides. He needs to gate it from the outside to protect his fields from people on the outside. And he has to gate himself from the inside to protect his fields from Ruben that's in the center. So the Gemara says, what did he do? Tenan hamakif havero mishadosh luchotav. The guy, he put walls around his field from all three sides. Vegadar et arishona ve'et hasheniya ve'et hashlishit. Right? He put a wall around the three sides that he's surrounding the field. See, again, you have Reuven in the center. Rashi gives a picture, which is perfect. You see over here, he puts the opposite names, which is fine. You have Sadeh Shimon in the middle, and you have Sadeh Reuven on the side. You see Reuven has two walls, an outer wall to protect this field from the outside, and he has an inner wall to protect it from Shimon. En mechayevin oto. We don't make Shimon help foot the bill. He doesn't have to pay for any of this, even though he's benefiting somewhat. But we don't make him pay, because really he's still not benefiting, because the fourth wall is wide open. So therefore he's really not protected. His field is not totally enclosed, so therefore it's not considered a hana'a yet to Shimon. However, but if Reuven would buy the fourth field, and he would wall that fourth field, now Shimon is getting a pure benefit, because now his whole field is enclosed with a fence, and mashma from the Gemara that he would have to pay. He would have to chip in to pay for the shma mina zenene veze lo haser hayav, which means Shimon is nene. he's benefiting. Vezelo chaser. Reuven is not out anything because he was building defense anyway. And still you see what? The implication is he would have to pay. Gemara says, no, no, Shani Atta. They can't bring a proof from there. De Amar Le At Garamt Li Hekefa Yetera. In that case over there, the reason why Shimon has to foot the bill with him, because the Uven could say, listen, you caused me to make extra Hekef, which is because of you now I had to, you know, make a bigger fence. That she explains that. That she says, if it wasn't for your field that was right in the center, all I would have to put is an outer fence. And I would have been protected. Now because you're in the middle, I need to protect myself from you also, so I got to put a fence on the fourth side. So that's not a classical case of zene ene vezelo chaser. The reason why I could come and charge you is because you caused me out of pocket, because your field over there is. So therefore, no proof. Tashema, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Im Amad Nikaf. Nikaf is Shimon. That's the guy that they're surrounding. Vegadar et revi'it. He on his own went. After Reuven fenced in three sides, Shimon came along and said, you know what? That four sides opening is bothering me. He went and he fenced the fourth side himself. Megalgelin alav etakol. Oh, now you come and say, so you did benefit. You did enjoy this fence. What's the proof that you enjoyed it? You yourself fenced the fourth side. Now you got to chip in with me to all the other sides because you proved from your actions that you benefited. Tama degadar nikaf. That's only because he indicated by fencing it himself. Hamakif patur. Oh, but if Reuven would have fenced all four sides, it sounds like from the implication that Shimon would be patur, shma'mina zenehene, bezelo aser, patur. So now we can bring a proof the other way. That zenehene, he's benefiting Reuven. I mean, Shimon is benefiting from a fence on all four sides. Bezelo aser. And Reuven's not losing anything because he was going to fence anyway. And now you see what? He's patur. Shaniatam. That case is different as well. Da amar le. Because Reuven could tell Shimon, Lididi sagi di benetira barzuza. Listen, I can't afford to put a fence like this. I was only putting a fence that's worth one zuz. And therefore you cannot come along now and charge me for anything. The reason why Shimon doesn't have to chip in over here is because he says, listen, you put a nice fence of stones and bricks and things like that. I wasn't, you want me to pay for it? I can't do that. I wasn't planning on doing that. I was going to put a cheap fence over there of, you know, thorns or whatever it may be. And therefore, yeah, I'm not paying you for this price over there. So we still did not bring a conclusive proof yet to this case of Zeneh Bezeh Tashema, we get another proof. Habayit va'aliyah. Oh, you have a duplex. You have two family. That guy lives on the bottom, guy lives on the top. Shev shenayim. Two people living. One guy lives on the bottom, one guy lives on the top. Shenaflu. What happened? It caves in. Now, they got to rebuild. Now, you can't build the second floor until the guy in the bottom builds the bottom floor. Afi amar ba'ala aliyah le'ba'ala bayit dibnot. So the second floor guy says to the guy in the first floor, do me a favor, could you build your floor so I can build mine on top of yours? I'm not interested. Now, he can't build his second floor in the air. So what does he do? So the Baal Aliyah, the guy in the second floor, builds the first floor. The Yoshev Ba. And he can live in there. Until he gives him his money. Which means he's got to pay him what he is. He paid money to build this floor. So therefore, he could stay there until the first floor guy is willing to pay him for the money that he spent to build it. So Gemara makes the yuk. He's only obligated to pay him what he spent to build the first floor. Ba'alabayit. I don't know who the mechayev ba'alabayit. Haskaro, lo. But he doesn't have to pay him rent. Which means he can't say, listen, you owe me $2,000 in materials because I spent to build your first floor. Oh, but then the guy's going to say, well, you know what? subtract $200 a month rent. No, you don't. So he lives rent free. So what do you see? Shmar mina zenene veze lo haser patur. You see a classic case. The guy was nehene because he needed a place to stay. If he wasn't going to live there, he was going to pay rent somewhere else. Veze lo haser, because the guy who didn't rebuild, obviously he wasn't planning on rebuilding. So therefore, it's not like he's losing out anything. So therefore, what are we saying? He doesn't have to reimburse him. He doesn't have to pay for the hana'a that he's getting. Now that case is different also. Because the bottom floor is mishubad to the top floor. Which means since you can't build a top floor without a bottom floor, so therefore, I don't have to pay you rent, which means you're obligated to me. Since you didn't build the bottom floor, I wasn't able to build the top floor. So therefore, I don't have to pay you rent. Because you are mishubad to me. You had to build. So you didn't build? Listen, you reimbursed me because I built your floor over there. But I'm not paying you rent because I don't have to pay somebody that's obligated. You're obligated to me to make sure that you build. So therefore, that's why he doesn't pay. So again, once we give an excuse, we don't have an ayah. We need to show a pure case of zeneh, vezer lo haser, who pays. But on all these proofs that we bring over there, we're saying, no, the reason why he pays, or he doesn't pay is because of this, because of that. It's external reasons. We need to find a pure case of zeneh, vezer lo haser. Like the case we're looking for. A guy goes and moves into his friend's backyard. He's benefiting because he wouldn't have to pay rent. But his friend, he wouldn't rent out that backyard. Zeneh lo haser. We need to find a similar case that doesn't have any external factors. Here, it was a duplex. So the reason why he doesn't have to pay is because he's obligated to build a floor for him. And therefore, since he didn't do it, he doesn't have to pay rent. Tashema Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af ze, Hadar b'chaser havero shelo middato. You have a case. Guy's living in his friend's backyard, shelo midato, without him knowing. Sarich la'alot lo sechar. Oh, that's the exact case we're looking for. He's got to pay him rent. Shma mina, ze ne'ene veze lo chaser, hayav. He wasn't renting, he's benefiting, he's got to pay him. Shariata, that's different also. Mishum shachrenute de ashyata. The blackening of the walls. Seems when the guy's going to live in the field, or in the backyard, whatever it may be, he's making a fire. He's cooking, he's doing whatever he's doing. So all of a sudden now you cause the walls of this guy to become blackened. Hey, once already you're ruining the guy's property, now already we're going to charge you. We're talking about a pure case where the guy who's living in the backyard is not taking away anything from the owner. He's just taking his sleeping bag, he goes in the backyard, he sleeps, there's no darkening of the walls, there's no smoke. This case over there, once already the owner comes out and sees, hey, what'd you do to my backyard over here? You ruined the whole wall. Now already can charge him. That's clear. We want a case over here of zeneh v'zelo chaser. We want the guy not out anything. This guy's out something now. So that's what he has to pay. Shalhu b'Rabbi Amir. They sent to the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Amir. They want to know the answer to this question. Amar, v'chi ma asado, uma hasro, uma eziko. The answer to it, listen, what did he cause him a loss? No. Did he damage him? No. Therefore, he doesn't have to pay. Which means to the rabbis and the bimas, it was pashut. Zenehene, vezen lo chaser. He doesn't have to pay. What are you going to charge him for? He didn't use any. He didn't damage anything. He didn't take away anything. You weren't renting it out anyway. So the rabbis, the bimas, to them was pashut. Zenehene, vezen lo chaser. Patur. However, Rabbi Chaya bar Abba Amar nityashiv badavar. Chaya bar Abba said, you know what? We got to analyze it. It's not so simple. Not so pashut like you're making it. We need to ponder it. Hadar shalchu kamed Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. So they sent again the same question to Rabbi Chaya. After he said, I have to ponder it, they sent the same question to Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. Amar kulei shalchu li ve'azli. Well, you're still sending me the same question? Ilu ashkache ba ta'ama lo shanach nala.
If I would have got the answer, wouldn't I have sent you back? But you asked me this question already. What did I tell you? I got to think about it. So you send me another delegation with the same question? If I would have had the answer, wouldn't I have sent it to you? I don't have the answer yet, obviously. I'm still thinking about it. Itmar, Rav Kana Amar Rav Yohanan, Eno Sarich La'alot Lo Sechar. Good. Rav Kana said the name of Yohanan, En Sarich La'alot Lo Sechar. Zeh Nehneh, Vezeh Lo Chaser, Patur. Does not have to pay. Rabbi Abu Amar Rav Yohanan, Sarich La'alot Lo Sechar. Okay, Machloket. He says, no, he has to pay. Two different ways of looking at it. Amar Papa, Had Rabbi Abu. That which Rabbi Abu said in the name of Rabbi Yohanan, that you have to pay, Zeneh Bezeh Lo Chaser, Tzarich L'Shalem, La Befirush Itmar. You know, Rabbi Yohanan didn't say it explicitly, Ela Mechlala Itmar. She said, Rabbi Yohanan said something, and Rabbi Abu deduced from that something that must be Zeneh Bezeh Lo Chaser, has to pay. What did Rabbi Yohanan say? Ditnan, it's a Mishnah. We're talking about over here a Gizbar. What's a Gizbar? Gizbar is the administrator of Hekdesh, of the consecrated properties of the Beit HaMikdash. Now the Gizbar, as I said, is the administrator. He has rights to sell the property of Hekdesh if he deems fit that it's for the benefit of Hekdesh. So it says, Natal Evin O Korah Shel Hekdesh. If let's say, by mistake, the Gizbar, this administrator, takes a stone or a beam that belongs to the Hekdesh, Hare Zeh Lo Ma'al. He's not considered using it for personal benefit, because anyway the stuff of Hekdesh is in his domain already. So he didn't do anything to it. He didn't sell it. He didn't change it. He just took the item and he's walking around with it. So as long as he didn't change the item or sell the item, it's in his domain from the beginning. He's not considered over transgressing Me'ila. Me'ila means you're not allowed to use Hekdesh for your private benefit. So as long as the Gizbar didn't do anything, when he just took it for himself, what do you mean took it for himself? He didn't do anything really, he just thought that it was his. Nothing happened yet. However, Natna L'Havero, once unintentionally, the Gizbar gives this beam to his friend, at that moment that he transfers domain, now we're ready, Hu Ma'al V'Havero Lo Ma'al. The Gizbar makes Mi'ila, because the Mi'ila takes place at the time of the transfer. Once the transfer takes place, and who did the transfer? The Gizbar. He transferred it from his domain to the other domain. Now already it's considered that the Gizbar makes Mi'ila, but not his friend. Because by the time his friend got it, it was out of the Rishut of Hekdesh already. So the Gemaran says, Bina'a letoch beto. Let's say the Gizbar, he took this beam, he put it in his roof, put it in top part of his house. Hareze lo ma'al. He's not considered Mi'ila yet. Why? Because it was always in his domain yet. Just because he put it on his roof, he didn't change it yet. It didn't leave his domain. Therefore, he's not considered a ma'al. However, ad shiyadur tahteha shaveh peruta. Until he lives in the house and benefits from the roof, a shaveh peruta is worth. I mean, he lives in the house for 1 minute, let's say. So now already he's benefiting from the beam. That already is considered a mi'ila. Ve'amar Shemuel, continue, Shemuel says, Ve'hu shenihua, o sheniha, alpi aruba ve'yativ. The case is talking about where you put it on top of the aruba, on top of the skylight. Now she says, Ve'lo kaba'a bebinyan. She says, if the guy would have banged it into the roof, then already he made a shinui. Once he makes a shinui, once he changes the beam, he's hayav right away, without even living in it. We're talking about a case where there was just like a hole in the roof. The guy took a plank, the gizbar, just filled up the hole. So he didn't change the beam at all. You didn't put any nails in it. You didn't paint it. So then the deen is, once he sits under the roof for a amount of time where he can say there's a benefit to it, at that point he has hayav me'ila. That's what Rabbi Yohanan said. So comes the Gemara and says, V'yativ Rabbi Abu Kamed Rabbi Yohanan. Oh.
Okay. Yativ Rabbi Abu Kamed Rabbi Yohanan. So Rabbi Abu was sitting in front of Rabbi Yohanan, Vekamar Mishemed Shmuel. And he said in front of Shmuel, Zot Omeret. This teaches us, Hadar Bechaser Chavero, Shelom Midato. Person sits in his friend's property without his friend knowing, Sarik La'alot Lo Sechar. Which means, who heard this Mishnah? This is the story. Who heard this Mishnah? The Mishnah is not Rabbi Yohanan. The Mishnah is a Mishnah that talks about the Gizbar. Once he puts the beam in the roof, and he benefits from it, even in Shavet Peruta, at that moment, already it's considered Mu'el. Oh, Rabbi Yohanan said, oh, that's a nice Mishnah. You know what I learned from here? I could deduce another law from this Mishnah. What could you deduce from this Mishnah? If a guy goes to his friend's field, and he lives in his chatzer, without him knowing it, he's got to pay him. Where in the world did he learn that law from the case of Hegdesh? So Rashi explains to us. Look at Rashi, Zotomer, the bottom Rashi. Zotomer, Mideketari dechidar tahtea. When the Gizbar lives under the roof, Hayav, Va'afapid de Shilom midat Hegdesh avad. Even though he did it without knowing, which means he did it without Hegdesh, without him knowing, which means, in this case over here, the Gizbar took the beam. Obviously, he didn't know that it was Hegdesh, otherwise he wouldn't have taken it. And what did he do? He put it on top of his roof over there. What are we saying? We're saying over there, he's got to pay Hegdesh. He's got to reimburse Hegdesh. Oh, now even though technically Hegdesh is not losing out anything, Hegdesh is lo chaser, and this guy over here is nehene, so ze nehene veze lo chaser, so therefore, well, he has to pay. So similarly, if I go, a guy goes and lives in his friend's backyard, he's having an veze lo chaser, it's shilom midato, that's the key over here, it's shilom midato, which means when I go into the guy's field and I'm sleeping in his backyard, he doesn't know about what I did. Similarly over here, when he's sitting in the house with the Hegdesh on top of his head, he's benefiting from the Hegdesh, and the she says, even though it's Shilom Midat Hegdesh, which means, so to speak, the Hegdesh doesn't know about it, which means he's the Gizbar, he's only the Hegdesh, so he's like the Hegdesh, he doesn't know about it, so therefore he's benefiting from a property without the owner, so to speak, knowing, and we're saying that he has to pay. So comes Gemara and says, and he told us to Rabbi Yohanan, when I quoted him the Mishnah, I said, oh, you know, Rabbi, from here I learn a law, what you're telling me from this Mishnah, that just like the Gizbar doesn't know Shalom Midat Hegdesh, he doesn't know that this is Hegdesh, and what? But he's having Hana'ah, and we say he has to reimburse Hegdesh, so it's Zenehnesh Shalom Midat Hegdesh, Sarich Leshalem. Similarly, if somebody goes to his friend's backyard without his knowledge and benefits, he has to pay him. What was Rabbi Yohanan's reaction? So it says, Meshatakle. He heard him, kept quiet. So Rabbi Abu said, oh, must be for Rabbi. I kept quiet when I gave him this theory, must be he's agreeing with me. Well, that's not so. He didn't even pay attention to what he said. Because he was following Rabbah's opinion. Which means there's no such thing. When we say Hegdesh Shelo Midat, there's no such thing. Because even though the Gizbar did not know that this item is Hegdesh, but Shechina knows. Look at the top Tosfot. Perusha Kuntras, it's actually the Rashi on the bottom of the page, but you can read it in Tosfot also. Perusha Kuntras, De Da'at Shechina Ika. What does that mean, Da'at Shechina Ika? There's always somebody that knows. Hegdesh is God's property. So therefore you can never say the case is in Hegdesh. It it's shelo midat. It's without knowledge. What do you mean? Shekhinah knows exactly. So the parallel case would be, a Vigdesh is like going into your friend's backyard with his knowledge. Oh, with his knowledge is another story. We want to know, with his knowledge, if he forgives you, he forgives you. But we want to know a case where you went into your friend's backyard without his knowledge. You can't bring me a case of Hekdesh. Hekdesh is always considered with knowledge. The knowledge of who? The knowledge of the Shekhinah. Shekhinah knows what's going on over there. So therefore you have no... So that case over there, you went in with knowledge, you have no raya. So therefore look at the bottom Rashi. Rashi says the same thing on the bottom. Look at Rashi on Chaf Amud Bet, Hekdesh, Lekal Lememash Shelo Midat. Tedat Shekhinah Ika. The Shekhinah knows. Therefore it's similar to the case of midat. Therefore you have no ra'aya to our situation. We're trying to bring a case over here of shelo midat, which means if the Baal HaBayit knows that the guy's coming in and he doesn't say anything, for sure they have to pay any money. Well, what's the hadush on that? If he sees Shimon's the Baal HaBayit, Reuven moves in. He tells him, Shimon, I'm moving into your backyard. He keeps quiet. So in the back, he knows he's forgiving him. We want a case over here where you don't know what would happen. The guy, Reuven moved in, Shimon didn't know about it. Now all of a sudden, Shimon finds out, hey, you were living in my backyard over here. Now already does he have to pay or not? So if you cannot bring it ayah from Hekdesh, which is a case where there is da'at, not a human da'at, but da'at of the Shekhinah. Okay? Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.